Peter Frick Wright.
Thank you, Doug. Give it up for Doug. And for all the storytellers we've had so far, this has been great. I'm really happy to be here. What a spot that you guys live in. Holy cow. I've driven through St. George a couple times, and Ivan's is like, hold my beer, St. George. Look at this. Oh, thank you. My dog, Hal Halifax, looks so much like a black bear that whenever we took him hiking, we kept encountering hikers that had jumped off the trail. He's a Newfoundland, which means he's about this big, black, and because he's mixed with Rottweiler, they clipped his tail. So he just has this little nub at his butt. So his tail doesn't wag so much as his whole butt sort of vibrates when he's happy. He's a beautiful dog. He was not beautiful when we got him. We got him just as I graduated from college, and I brought him home, and he had just had surgery on his eyes to fix his eyelids. So he had these big purple sutures that sort of looked at you and blinked every once in a while. He had had masses removed from his side, so he couldn't give him a bath. And every time you pet his coat, your hand would come back kind of gray. My mom was the daughter of a veterinarian with exquisite taste in dogs. And after one look at Hal, she just turned to me and said, Peter, take it back. But we didn't take it back. We took him hiking. And we started calling him Bear. And I think it kind of went to his head eventually, because he spent most of his life sort of trying to be a wild animal. He caught one squirrel his entire life, lost fights to half a dozen raccoons, and when he would chase coyotes, he was so slow that they would toy with him. They would run away, but sort of like look back over their shoulders to make sure he was still there, that he was still playing the game. He was just not a very calorically efficient hunter. Where he excelled was in the kitchen. Being this tall, the counter where he kept the food was basically the most convenient height for Hal. You couldn't really blame him. I think in the kitchen, the animal that he most resembled was an alligator. He would lie in wait, just waiting for someone to lose his focus for just a second. You'd forget he was there, and then he would pounce. He was extremely successful. He once downed 13 muffins in 30 seconds, wrappers and all. That's as long as anyone was ever out of the room before we noticed they were gone. He did away with two 24-ounce T-bone steaks with just, they were thawing on the counter and just had wax paper in the middle. The only thing we found was the wax paper sort of drifting through the kitchen like a guilty tumbleweed. And then there's the pies. And I didn't know there was a pie baking competition when I decided to do this story. And anyone with dogs here, I've seen a couple, you might want to cover their ears for this part. I was living at home. It was just after we got the dog. I was just graduating from college. I was living at home, working upstairs, writing something. And I heard my mom yell upstairs, like, hey, Peter, we're going out to dinner with our friends. We're coming back here for dessert. And I thought, great, no problem, went back to working. And as they left, the sounds were so close together, the sounds of my parents shutting the door leaving and the crash in the kitchen, they were so quick that I just assumed that they had shut the door so hard that they'd knocked something off the counter. Didn't think anything about it. Went back to whatever I was working on. 45 minutes later, an hour later, something, I go downstairs, and there's just a perfectly clean pie tin in the middle of the living room, like fresh out of the package. Like, nothing, like, crust had never touched this pie tin. And I'm just thinking, that's a really weird move if you're bringing your friends back for dessert to have a pie tin in the living room when they get here. Okay, I go around the corner to the kitchen, and it is a crime scene. It is a murder, something died a very blueberry death in the kitchen. So the first pie had landed pie up, and Hal had done great work on it. He was very proud of that pie eating competition that he had done. The second pie had landed pie down, and he had nosed it around the entire house trying to get at the pie. And he never got it. So he was still working on it. I mean, it was not a mystery of what had happened. But it's been like an hour now, you know, my parents are coming home, we're on the clock. I flip over the pie, give it to him, because like if you're already facing life in the doghouse, what's, you know, you might as well enjoy it. And clean up the blueberries, I get in the car and I go to the store and I buy two store-bought pies as close in flavor as I can find. And I bring them home, and as people arrive, I am like the golden child. I'm in full Doug mode hosting this dessert party. Like, here, let me slice that pie for you. Here, like, here's your plate of pie. Eat it, enjoy it. Don't think about it too much. What it tastes like. We were so close to getting away with it. It wasn't until I served my mom last, and it wasn't until that first bite hit her, I saw her facial expression change, and she just let out this yell. Friends over, no problem, just, "Peter, no." And we were caught, because store-bought pie is about as close to homemade pie as my dog Hal is to an actual black bear. There was no recovering. This is actually totally true. The friends who were over, she was so mad. My mom was so mad. The friends who were over offered to let me and Hal stay at their house for a couple of days while this blew over. We declined. Hal is a survivor. Anyway, the point of all this is dogs teach us a lot of things. They teach us how to go for a walk and enjoy it, how to live in the moment, how to say goodbye eventually. My dog taught me not to pretend to be something I'm not, because nobody actually likes homemade or store-bought pie. Thank you.